Good morning. Today is Monday, the 6th of December. Don't want to say anything chippy about the 6th of December. It's another one of those days in America, right?
It's Monday.
Yeah. Joining us this morning, now your official is interim or act? No, you're acting.
Acting, yes.
Acting Police Chief Brian Stevens. Does that mean you're still captain?
I am still captain.
I notice you still have the two bars there instead of.
I do. Because it's only an acting position. It doesn't feel right to,
put
them on for a month and then.
Oh, I thought it was the effort of changing the collar.
No, no effort. It's
adding a stripe. Do you get another stripe if you're a captain?
No, those are about years of service.
Oh. Each one doesn't represent 10 years, does it?
Four.
Oh.
Yeah, not that old, Brian.
Yeah.
Come on now. It feels like I've been here that long, but
yeah.
It hasn't.
Well, yeah. Boy, that would earn you a lot of drinks at the bar.
Yes. I'd have to have a special sleeve to carry that.
Oh. And they don't use the right sleeve for anything.
No. Don't know why.
Yeah, maybe because it's tougher to see if you lead with the right. Yeah. All right, let's see what other non-PC stuff we can. Okay. Here we go. This is kind of associated. Why do so many military uniforms have a stripe down the side of each pant leg? You guys are kind of quasi, so.
You know what? I was even in the military, and I don't know the answer to that.
Do you ever have the question?
Never heard the question before, but maybe it's just to identify.
Did they ever give you the dress uniform?
I never had dress blues. I had my greens.
So you didn't have the stripe. You never had a stripe.
Never had a stripe.
Wasn't applicable.
No. Yeah.
That's good. At least gives you an out. At one time, military trousers were made to fit so tightly, the buttons down the sides of the legs were needed to enable the wearer to get his feet through. To hide these buttons, tailors began putting strips of cloth, usually of a different color, over them. This led to the idea of stripes on military trousers. I don't know why they would have to be skin tight.
Well, most of them rode horses, and so if you look, a lot of people ride horses, the pants are tight.
Oh, you don't want to get caught.
The boot.
Yeah.
Getting off your saddle and stuff.
Yeah, that's another level of embarrassment, isn't
it? Yeah, it would be.
Freeze, and you go face down into the mud. Oh. Well, I suppose that it was not a total shocker to you, one, that Steve left, and two, that you were going to be recommended as being the acting during the interim. Did you do any prep on that, or was it just kind of, okay, it's another day at the office, and you might have a different room to go into or a different desk to sit behind, or you just stay where you are and, you know, just make sure that the cleaning lady comes through and, you know, knocks the dust down every once in a while.
Yeah, it's there was real no prep that went into it, Brian. I mean, you know, as the captain, you know, anytime the chief is out of town, you're the acting chief and you deal with those duties. So I'm still in my office. I'm going to stay in my office. So
he's just out of town.
Just wait until the interim gets in and then we'll go from there.
What are they talking about to you? Anything? Just, you know, stay there. We're bringing somebody in. What kind of communication happens during this period from City Hall? Is it as if you were the chief?
So as the acting, yes. All the information, all the delegation meetings, all those requirements are handled, you know, by the acting. I know that they're just trying to fill a period of time right now after Chief Watson leaving with the interim to help settle things down. And, you know, bring somebody in just to help out with that. They're not looking to bring somebody in to flip the city upside down or flip the department upside down. It's just to help fill that gap, take some of that work off, and then do the recruitment for the new chief.
So I would suspect that there's a lot of interview questions. I mean, you went through it last time, so you kind of know what to anticipate. And I don't know if I asked you or Steve if I was on the interview panel, which I didn't. Don't hold your breath and don't fear anybody. I know it ain't going to happen. How would you grade the city?
How would I grade the city?
The criminal scene or activities in the city. Where are we for a city our size?
I haven't seen like a huge increase. I think we're just in that same transition we come to every holiday season, where we see an uptick of certain types of crimes, whether it be residential burglaries, thefts from stores. This is the time of year that people recognize that it's a good time to steal stuff. So we're trying to get the word out, trying to do some operations, get ahead of that. But We just go through cycles, Brian, when it comes to different seasons within the city, and we're in one of those cycles right now when it comes to crime.
Guess what we're going to talk about when we come back? It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Acting Police Chief Brian Stevens. Oh, I just want to make so many comments about wearing makeup, breaking a leg, you know, all that. But I digress. Isn't that the way they say it?
Yeah.
So what are the things you talked about, normal uptick in bad guy activity this time of the year? And when you say that, okay, that rings true, okay, over the years. But the fact that there's no room in the hotel to keep the bad guys, what dissuading aspects can you guys put to the task right now that might put just a small little taste of fear into these people?
Yeah, I know before I left a couple of weeks ago, Sheriff Hansel talked about, you know, they want us to book as many people as we can. There is room. They're changing their COVID protocols inside the jail so they can allow for more people inside. You know, it's the laws and whether or not they're going to stay inside. So, like, you know, we've done a couple operations at a local shopping center that's been suffering a huge loss, some blatant shoplifting.
Kind of like what we hear, smaller magnitude, but what we're hearing in San Francisco and LA.
Not the same takeover type where they just run in and take stuff. It's just local thieves who are going in, filling shopping carts full of stuff and walking out the front door because company policies, things like that have changed where they don't want to go hands-on. But it's creating this public safety issue now because we have citizens seeing this happening, calling us, why in the store doing thing, we have people intervening. So we've done a couple operations.
We were involved.
People have
community
been.
Was
yes,
involved.
People are getting upset and stopping these people, taking property back. You know, you're not going to do this. Unfortunately, if the company doesn't, you know,
support that,
I don't want anybody getting hurt. So we've worked it out with this company where we've done some operations. We don't do anything inside other than, you know, surveillance. And then we wait till they actually violate the law to get outside. And then we look for other aspects of the crime that maybe we can keep them in jail on. Are they, do they have a strike? You know, a lot of these people have criminal histories. So we look at what can we put on these criminals to try to get them to stay in jail so we can create a safer atmosphere for the holiday season so you and I can go shopping and I have to worry about an incident happening in a local shopping center.
You stock off the shelves?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we actually have something to buy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So.
When something like that gets into that community, does everybody descend on that store or do they go, well, you know, if it's the green store, let me try the red store.
Yes.
Or an orange store or a purple store.
So the word in the community, that thieving community has definitely gotten out, and they know that policy for that particular store is of such that has created this atmosphere they can get away with this. So it is among that community. I've stopped and talked to people, and they're like, yeah, everybody knows they won't stop us when we leave. But now
that's changed?
Well, they are working on that. Yes, they're... It all has to do with security, the properly trained security people they have and things. So there are changes mm-hmm. coming. We're trying to help fill that gap in between changes and
interim.
To slow things. Interim, yes, there you go. But we have other companies in town that have completely different policies. And they will be very aggressive and go hands-on and make citizens arrest and detain people till we get there. They tend to have less activity because that's the word on the street, too, is you're going to get caught.
So. Don't screw with Bob Smith.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. I was thinking of for these areas that we're dealing with, these groups of individuals pulling up. Okay, you know they're going into a store in the neighborhood, right? Okay, if they all ran in, you know, and I thought, what would I do? You know, if I was a storekeep and I didn't want straight up confrontation, you know, stand out there with a gun of some sort and, you know, somebody, that's not going to go anywhere positive.
It's not.
I think I would take a knife and cut all their tires. Okay, you come out. Okay, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to be there, or at least it's going to take you 15 minutes to change your tire. And by that time, hopefully somebody is going to be there that can take it to the next level.
Yeah, unfortunately, they probably leave somebody in those running cars, so you'd probably end up having some type of confrontation at the car. And we don't want people taking those level of action in their own hands, because no property in this world is worth the safety of our community members and store owners. You know, what we're going to try to do is just stay ahead of this, watch the trends, make sure that if it does come to Humboldt County, we have a plan in place, hopefully, to help our businesses deal with it when it happens. But
okay, well, you know, I'm not in retail. I'm not in San Francisco, so. And fewer people are. Imagine that.
Seems to be that way, doesn't it?
When you see some of this stuff or hear through your network of peers this goofy stuff going on, how do you know if it's coming here? You know, because if you know about it, I would figure the bad guy community is aware of it, too. Are there little attempts to try things and see if it's successful? Or do you go proactive as quick as you know about it and shut it down before it has a chance to take root?
Yeah, we try to stay as proactive as possible. I mean, fortunately for us, we're behind the Redwood Curtain, and a lot of things won't come this far. But we never, you know, you take that intel and you're like, well, how can I create a circumstance where we can deter them before they ever get here? Why come up here behind the Redwood Curtain and try to commit these crimes? I know in certain aspects and certain different businesses, there's trends taking place in the Bay Area and L.A. that I read articles on this weekend and emailed a bunch of people that with the city that are involved in these permitting and approval processes. And, like, we need to contact these businesses and make sure they're aware of these incidents that are happening and make sure their safety protocols are in place, because, you know, we permitted certain businesses to help them be safe. And as long as they follow those safety rules, it can curtail a lot of the activity. So we're just wanting to get ahead of that, make them aware. Knowledge is key a lot of times when it comes to curtailing crime.
We have had those situations with two or three people coming in, somebody causing a diversion and the others slipping out the back or the front door with whatever the goodies are.
Yeah.
If we're in those stores, what are you going to recommend? I guess we got another tease. I hate asking questions you have a chance to reflect on. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
Keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens, acting police chief for the city of Eureka. What kind of activities are going on out there now that you have had it 4 or 5 minutes to reflect on it?
Well, back to your questions. I don't want to leave you hanging.
Okay.
If you are inside and you witness something like we were just talking about happen, we recommend you be the best witness you can be. Not to intervene. Look for the oddities in the persons that are committing the crime. A lot of times they can change clothing, but they may not change their shoes or their shoelaces. We ask that, look for those things that would stand out, so when I stop somebody on the street, if you tell me they have pink Nikes on with, white laces, he may have changed every other piece of clothing they have, but a lot of times they don't bring extra shoes. And we've made cases like that before. So, just be observant to your surroundings and know what's going on, and that'll make you a good witness. And that helps us more than anything.
License plates if there's vehicles involved?
License plates or even something that stands out about the car, broken window, stickers on the rear. you know, taillight out, something like that, that would make that car stand out more than the one right next to it. Don't say a white Honda Accord, because there's probably 200 of them in Eureka.
I would think license plate trims. I like looking at license plates. I don't know, it goes back to goofy, weird stuff, the personalized plates. But I'm always looking at the trims to see, you know, is this somebody who's a foreigner, or is this somebody who's a local? Is this somebody who bought locally? Is somebody who bought out of the area?
Yeah.
And then whatever cool plates they have, you know, in whatever state they're from.
What sports team do they
follow? Yeah.
I mean, there's all
schools,
kinds of clues. Yeah,
you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Are they a proud parent of somebody? All those types of things. Is something as simple as that, along with, let's say, white Honda Accord. I don't know what year. I don't know what decade. I'm not a car guy. But you know, they had University of Utah Utes.
It was very important.
That just that one thing could be enough.
Yeah, because what we could do too, we could go back and pull, run that license or run that car through our system for the last 3 years, and I can tell you every white Honda Accord we put over, and we can go back and pull body camera for like 2 years, and may be lucky enough to catch the plate as the officer's walking up and see that Utah Utes, you know, license plate frame. And now we have a connection, something we can actually work on to identify whoever the driver was based on the information we already know.
So the body camera stuff?
That's off. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. I don't have to smile and wave? Fine. You hold on to that stuff for a couple of years? Is that?
Generally, any video we make that is just of general nature, it's a minimum of 2 years that we hold on to it. If it's associated with a crime, we're required to hold that until the crime has been adjudicated. Certain crimes are lifetime, you know, homicides, officer-involved shootings, use of force stuff, we hold on to longer. But generally, everything is held for 2 years.
So if we're kind of paying attention to that kind of stuff, what are some of the low-hanging fruit? You know, I could probably tick off maybe a third of what you got on your list. Yeah, don't leave presents in the seat. Put them in the trunk. Cover them up.
Yeah.
You know, the Christmas tree, don't put it in front of the window and pile the gifts up over the windowsill.
Be careful on social media if you're going to be traveling out of the area, not posting photos so people know you're in Cancun or whatever during Christmas break and your house is unoccupied. Don't leave your garage door openers in your car, because you may leave your car unlocked and all you have to do then is hit the garage door opener and now I have access to your house.
I thought you were going to say don't leave your garage door open.
Well, that would be the first step. Leaving lights on, having packages delivered to P.O. boxes or to your office instead of your porch. I mean, that's a big time.
I do that anyway because, you know, there's people here all the time.
Yeah.
We, you know, at home, who knows?
And you know, this time of year, we have those individuals that will follow a UPS truck around and watch them put packages on the door, ring the bell, and if nobody comes out and gets it, they'll go up and grab it.
Do the UPS, FedEx, postal guys, do they, like, look in their rearview mirrors?
They do, and we get calls like that from them, from neighbors. It's pretty obvious what's going on sometimes, and we will get tips on that. So,
yeah, it would be interesting to have a focus group with the bad guys. What? How did you ever figure out, or even think that something like that was acceptable or okay? I mean, just taking from people. Where does that come from?
Yeah, I'm not remembering the name of the documentary, but we have recommended it to neighborhood watch groups in the past, where they actually went into prisons and interviewed burglars and what they look for. And one guy, all he did was steal change out of your center cup holder, would break your window and steal your change. That's how he met his needs to get his drugs and stuff. Another guy said that, you know, people always leave the second story windows unlocked. So I would just watch for houses that I could get to the second floor, because nobody thinks that the burglar is going to come through the second floor. And that was his, you know, his motive, his mode to get inside the house. So they shared a lot of information. And it's interesting to listen to see how they, in their own mind, can calculate and become as successful as they are in what they do.
Or were.
Or were, yes, because they're in prison, yes. It finally caught up to them, which it usually does happen. So
I hadn't thought about the second story stuff, and that probably gets to the house design.
House design, you know, how many people leave a ladder? You know, you have a 10, 12-foot straight ladder just laying out behind your house somewhere. I mean, we see it a lot when we're searching yards and stuff. So, I mean, you give them the tools to get in, and then you don't lock the window. It's a little hard to help yourself out there.
Well, then you got the welcome mat right underneath the window.
Key underneath of it, so, yeah.
What are some of the surprise things? You know, when you guys are out or you're talking to somebody who's had a situation, you can see the deer in the headlights. about this kind of thing this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, it never, after 23 years, never ceases to amaze me sometimes what people do. You know, I had a couple that were moving out of the state, out of the country, and packed everything up, put it in a trailer that they were going to take with them, you know, put it on the plane or whatever, and just worked all day and was tired and forgot to lock the trailer. And the next morning, the safe and everything was gone. And fortunately, you know, it was too heavy. They only made it around the corner and couldn't get it open. And we found it, and they got their passports and everything back and were able to go. But it's like that one extra step, you know. I know you're tired, but that one extra step would have saved you a lot of heartache that morning. So
yeah, or at least your blood pressure would have stayed
yeah, exactly.
Warm. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, the obvious stuff.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, just take your time and breathe.
Yes, please.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from EPD. So this time of the year, normally there's activities going on. We've got the Toys for Tots and, you know, the toy drives that are going on. Yeah. What are you guys doing that is keeping you busy other than just the normal regular?
Yeah. So this year we're going to do a new event called Cram the Cruiser on Saturday, December 11th. It's going to be a food drive at Grocery Outlet.
And that's C-R-A-M, not C-R-A-N.
Yeah, Cram.
So you don't want a whole bunch of cranberries.
I don't need a bunch of cranberries.
Okay.
What we're looking for is a bunch of non-perishable foods that we're going to donate to the local Food for People. And the idea behind it is we'll see how much food can get donated and how much we can actually fit inside one of our patrol cars. And then we'll take that over and deliver it to Food for People after the event. So
it was Cram the what?
Cram the Cruiser.
Cruiser. Okay.
I got a flyer for you, Brian.
So oh, good, good.
Help you with this.
Well, I know a lot of guys, Slam the Van is another one that, you know, you heard, you know, just depends on how large you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And then on December 15th from 8 to 7 at the blood bank, we're doing the Eureka Police Department's annual holiday blood drive. Our chance to give back to our community and give back the, you know, the gift of life to those in our community that need it. And it's always a great event. Anytime you can give blood and help out in that category is always a great thing. And then we've been challenged by Humboldt Bay Fire for a Salvation
Who?
Army. Yeah, Humboldt Bay Fire. So kind of a battle of the badge kettle ring off at the Salvation Army is doing it Safeway in Eureka on December 18th from 10 in the morning till 6 at night. So please come out and help us, you know.
So, in other words, you got to donate to everybody that's there ringing the bell.
Yeah, well, yeah. Only some of us can arrest you, though, if you don't, firemen. So.
Well, you drown on the other guy, so. So you guys get one door and the others
get the other. I think that's how it's going to work, yeah. So it'll be a great event. Anytime we can raise money for local charities and companies, it's always great. And then the last thing, we are actually going to do our 8th annual Shop with a Cop this year. Like we have done in the past, we'll have a full-blown morning for the children, the escort to our shopping center, and then a great day of sharing some time
just stuff.
With some kids and
yeah,
hanging out with them, which is it's probably my favorite event of all.
Do the family members come and participate also?
There are a few that will because of certain circumstances, but generally we try to just take the kids and go. Transportation's huge, trying to get
I would
done.
Think the Shop with a Cop, that's a challenge.
Yeah, we want the interaction. So
right.
Without the parents, a lot of kids bring their own list so they know what they want to get.
I was saying the food stuffing.
So you know, the parents will be at the location that we have pre-event, post-event, to share in that whole experience. And we have donors that not only give us money to help pay for this event, and we're hugely grateful
for
them.
Well, and the stores help out. A lot of the stores.
That we shop at gives us, I think it's 10% or 20%
off. You may as well
give
them a pop. I mean,
yeah,
geez.
It's Target.
Yeah, okay.
They're great. They actually are very great to work with and have been our partner through this entire thing from the beginning. So they give us 20% off. We give each kid $100 to shop with. So they actually get $120 to shop with a 20% off. And trying to get the cops to be able to manage the money, you know, and understand math. You know, this is the one time when you're in high school, you know, and you're like, when am I ever going to need this? Well, guess what? So, no, we always have extra gift cards and funds, and it's just an amazing event, and to watch the interactions. I watch cops and those that come help us pull money out of their own pocket just to buy more stuff. And, you know, it's just, it's from day one. It has been just a very touching, incredible event.
Now, was that an Andy? Did he come up with that one?
Actually, it was, well, he didn't come up with it, but it started when he was here.
During his
first
tenure,
one we did was like maybe 15 kids at Betty Chin's. And, you know, we got back after the event, back to her location there, and we only had, you know, 6-7 cops, and being the first one, you know. And one of the older kids, being 9-10 years old, got the rest of the kids together. And they sang, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" to us. Totally unscripted, just
done.
And I mean, you watch cops just sitting there with tears running down their face, because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of connections we want to build with community and build with the kids, because that's how you change a community. You change by the generations. And
so with any of these, you know, obviously the food, we got that one figured out, how we can help out. The Salvation Army got that figured out. With the shop program, do you need money? What are you looking for from the community, or is it just, hey, this is a cool thing we do it before hours, you won't see us there, and then we're gone?
You know, we always can take donations. We always appreciate donations of money. So it's, you know, we take 40 to 50 kids a year, so you're looking at, you know, $100 a piece. That's $4,000 or $5,000. We get donations from some local business owners who are just absolutely every year are there for us. We get donations the day we're there. I've had people in line behind us pay for it, you know, pay for the kids' stuff because they see what we're doing. So we hate to just ask for money, but truly that's the best way to help out with this type of event, is through a donation.
Isn't there a breakfast with that too?
McDonald's.
Jesse
provides, food for all the kids and families.
Very cool. Ho, 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 baby.
It's been a pleasure. Hope you have a happy holidays.
Yeah, we'll see you in January, huh?
Either me or the intern, or both of us, maybe we'll be here.
Ooh, double team, and watch out. See everybody tomorrow.